Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the very end of the section, the Sermon on, well, not the end, but closer to the end of the section on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is speaking to a number of people on the hillside and gathered there, and has some very difficult words to teach and for us to hear. So as we listen to the Word of God, let us do so with open minds and hearts. Will you join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your cloak, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If I had any influence at all in the world of television, I would produce a very different reality show from the ones that permeate the airwaves these days. Take The Bachelor, please. My version of The Bachelor would be a real reality show. It would require a leading man with flabby abs and a receding hairline. The potential brides would be banned from wearing any makeup. None of those skimpy bikinis and rainbow-colored cocktail dresses, no way. The female contestants would be clothed in sweatpants and baggy stained t-shirts. Instead of jetting around to tropical islands and romantic getaways, the men and the women would be required to complete such tasks as working a 10-hour shift on a real job and then coming home to do laundry, cook a healthy meal on a shoestring budget, and get a bunch of fussy, overly tired kids to bed. Now that would be a reality show, am I right? What I'd really like to see is all those contestants doing something together that actually mattered, such as building a home for Habitat for Humanity or working in a soup kitchen in 105-degree weather with no air conditioning, or going on a mission trip with our youth group. The couple who came together as a result of working side by side for the betterment of the world would have a chance of building an honest working marriage, unlike the ones on The Bachelor, whose courting options are about as far from the real world as a person can get. Now, my biggest problem with reality shows, or as I prefer to call them, unreality shows, like The Bachelor, is that they tend to feed into that destructive mindset that says we are only worthy of love if we have perfect bodies and perfect complexions and perfect clothes and perfect dates. Our society's constant pressure for women and men to be perfect causes all kinds of stresses and ailments and unhappiness. I believe that what we all long for deep down inside is knowing that we are loved when we are not perfect, when we've had a bad day or gained a few pounds or snapped at our spouse. We want to be loved when we are our least lovable self. Well, then we read the verses from Matthew that only add to the pressure of being perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What? Now we have to strive to be as perfect as God? We might as well throw our hands up in despair because there's no way on earth we're ever going to be as perfect as God, even though there are some misguided folks in the world who think they are God, like the bachelor. But if we take these verses from Matthew and use them as a guideline for what it means to be perfect, then it seems that we have to turn the other cheek. If someone hits you, so what? They can hit you again. Or give to everyone who asks for anything. Does that include every telemarketer who calls on the phone and every charity that sends you a request for money? Love the people who treat you like dirt and actually cause you harm. Jesus, are you kidding? Are these verses a mathematical equation for finding perfection? Turning the other cheek plus giving to everyone who asks plus loving your enemies equals being perfect? Well, that's a mighty tall order, and honestly, some of these requirements aren't all that healthy, taken at face value. Perhaps it would make a little more sense if we looked at these verses in Matthew with a few real-life examples. Real life. Turn the other cheek. When your spouse or your child pushes your buttons, and we know how to push each other's buttons, when that happens, instead of raising the roof, stay calm. Put your hackles down and listen. You can speak up for yourself, but don't push the other person's buttons just because they've pushed yours. Where does that get you? Resolution comes when you're both in a rational or calm mood. So count to 10, 20, 30. Or walk away and come back to the situation when it isn't so heated, and then maybe you can figure things out. I feel I need to add a rebuttal to this commandment or this. Turning the other cheek does not mean that if you're in an abusive relationship, you're supposed to put up with it. God does not want that for you. If you are being threatened with emotional or physical harm, turn the other cheek and march yourself out of that abusive situation. Don't let violence bring on more violence. Because turning the other cheek is really about stopping the cycle of violence and anger, not perpetuating them. Go the extra mile. Now, a friend is going through a rough time and needs a little TLC. Do you just give the least amount possible? Don't stop with one lap around the track. Maybe you need to go that extra mile in order to fully hear what is going on with your friend, to really listen to her story. And when you give, don't do it with a grudging or stingy heart. Give more than you think you can, but do it willingly. You don't have to give to every charity that comes your way. My father used to get about 20 new requests for donations in the mail every single day. You would not believe the amount of junk mail we had to shred, the number of charities we had to contact when he died. Unbelievable. My dad was a very generous man and had a soft heart when it came to all those groups with their sad stories, but he could never have supported them all. There's just no end to the need in the world. But it's not just the money, but the time you put into helping others. You'll be sure your life includes reaching out to those who are less fortunate in whatever way you can, not only because it's good for those people, but because it's good for you to give. Love your enemies. That's a tough one. But keep in mind that forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation. And you can learn more about that Wednesday night at our WPC book talk. As Lori suggested last week, try to find the humanity in every person, even those with whom you are at odds. And then know when you need to distance yourself from people who bring out the worst in you. Loving your enemies is sometimes possible only when you put some space between you. So if you do these things over and over and over, you will achieve perfection, right? Well, no, because it isn't possible to achieve perfection. Living a Christian life is not about being perfect according to the standards of society, having that perfect house, perfect marriage, perfect children, perfect life, or even being a perfect Christian, because honestly, there's no such thing as a perfect Christian. Living a Christian life is recognizing that we are not perfect, that we cannot achieve perfection, but that God, through Christ, sees us as perfect. Perfect not in the sense of having everything figured out, but perfect in the sense of being perfectly loved by God. We are perfectly loved by God. Being perfect is not about being perfect in the eyes of the world. It is about being perfect in the eyes of God. And we are perfectly loved by God. We are perfectly loved by God because in Christ, God has proven without a shadow of a doubt that God loves us even when we are most unlovable. God loves us perfectly in our imperfections. God sees who we are at our very core, and God loves us. God loves us. God loves us in the way we all desire in the deepest place of our souls to be loved. God loves us with a perfect love. And when we believe that, we can be comfortable in our own skin and motivated to live life in a way that makes this world a better place for everyone. And so we are to love as God loves us, as Jesus shows us how to love. One of my favorite sayings is this: a friend is one that knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts what you have become, and still gently invites you to grow. If you change the word friend to God in Christ, you have this: God in Christ is the one who knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts what you have become, and still gently invites you to grow. So we practice turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, loving our enemies, knowing that practice does not make perfect, but it sure does make life more in tune with God's will for the world. God loves us with a perfect love, but still, gently, invites us to keep growing in our Christian faith. Practice does not make perfect, but because of God's perfect love in Christ, we practice being those who reflect the light of Christ into the world. And that's the truth. That's what's real. So what do you say? The Bachelor, Kathy Bostrom version? Who wants to keep up with the Kardashians anyway? Let's get real. Be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Do you pray with me? Lord, you love us because you made us and you see deep into our heart. You know who we are, where we've been, what we are becoming. And you nudge us to grow in our faith, to struggle each day to live a Christian life that makes this world a better place, to stop the cycles of violence, to give with a willing heart, to be there for those who need us, and in all these ways to reflect your light. So even though we are not perfect, may we see ourselves as you see us, perfectly loved through Christ. These and the prayers of our hearts we offer in Christ's name, and let all God's people say, Amen.